cells in your body. All my grandfather's blood donations were actually treating his hemochromatosis. Well, when my grandfather was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I had a gut instinct that the two diseases had to be connected. After all, if hemochromatosis caused dangerous iron buildups that damaged other organs, why couldn't it contribute to damage in the brain? Of course, nobody took me very seriously. I was 15. When I went to college a few years later, there was no question that I was going to study biology. And there was no question that I was going to keep on searching for the link between Alzheimer's and hemochromatosis. Soon after I graduated, I learned that the gene for hemochromatosis had been pinpointed. I knew that this was the right time to pursue my hunch seriously. I delayed medical school to enter a PhD program focused on neurogenetics. After just 2 years of collaborative work with researchers and physicians from many different laboratories, we had our answer. It was a complex genetic association, but sure enough, there was indeed a link between hemochromatosis and certain types of Alzheimer's disease. It was a bittersweet victory, though. I had proved my high school hunch and even earned a PhD for it, but it did nothing for my grandfather. He had died 12 years earlier, at 76, after 5 long years battling Alzheimer's. Of course, I also knew that this discovery could help many others, and that's why I wanted to be a physician and a scientist in the first place. And actually, as we'll discuss more in the next chapter, unlike many scientific discoveries, this one came with the potential for an immediate payoff. Hemochromatosis is one of the most common genetic disorders in people descended from Western Europeans. More than 30% carry these genes. And if you know you have hemochromatosis, there are some very straightforward steps you can take to reduce the iron levels in your blood and prevent the iron buildups that can damage your organs, including the one my grandfather discovered on his own, bleeding. And as for knowing whether or not you have hemochromatosis, well, there are a couple of very simple blood tests used to make the diagnosis. That's about it. And if the results come back positive, then you start to give blood regularly and modify your diet. But you can live with it. I do. I was around 18 when I first started feeling achy, and then it dawned on me. Maybe I have iron overload like my grandfather. And sure enough, the tests came back positive. As you can imagine, that got me thinking. What did this mean for me? Why did I get it? And the biggest question of all, why would so many people inherit a gene for something potentially so harmful? Why would evolution, which is supposed to weed out harmful traits and promote helpful ones, allow this gene to persist? That's what this book is about. The more I plunged into research, the more questions I wanted answered. This book is the product of all the questions I asked, the research they led to, and some of the connections uncovered along the way. I hope it gives you a window into the beautiful, varied, and interconnected nature of life on this wonderful world we inhabit. Instead of just asking what's wrong and what can be done about it, I want people to look behind the evolutionary curtain, to ask why this condition or that particular infection occurs in the first place. I think the answers will surprise you, enlighten you, and in the long run, give all of us a chance to live longer, healthier lives. We're going to start by looking at some hereditary disorders. Hereditary disorders are very interesting to people like me who study both evolution and medicine, because common conditions that are only caused by inheritance should die out along the evolutionary line under most circumstances. Evolution likes genetic traits that help us survive and reproduce. It doesn't like traits that weaken us or threaten our health, especially when they threaten it before we can reproduce. That preference for genes that give us a survival or reproductive advantage is called natural selection. Here are the basics. If a gene produces a trait that makes an organism less likely to survive and reproduce, that gene, and thus that trait, won't get passed on, at least not for very long, because the individuals who carry it are less likely to survive. On the other hand, when a gene produces a trait that makes an organism better suited for the environment and more likely to reproduce, that gene, and again that trait, is more likely to get passed on to its offspring.